I'm Brady Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Washington State sheriffs fighting back against a new law that would allow unelected bureaucrats to remove them from office. Plus, weird question, but is it ever okay for a teacher to wear her panties around students? Common sense would say no, but apparently for one school, not a big deal. And West Coast states are spending big bucks to remake their public image. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to Undivided on this glorious Monday. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I hope you all had a wonderful, meaningful Easter weekend with family and friends and doing, if you celebrate, doing that. Is it celebrate or is it...
Celebrate the resurrection.
Ponder, reflect. Okay, I don't know. We'll get to more on our Easter weekends coming up momentarily. But first, let me just say there are so many important fights happening right now and that are at the precipice and about to begin between now and November. It's almost hard to figure out where to put our attention and our focus and our efforts. I will say one of the most important things to me is always going to be defending your vote. And one of the most important things is always going to be standing up and standing against people who blatantly ignore the constitutions and who undermine the will of voters. And so I think a really important fight in the months to come is going to be against this new law, which allows an unelected board of bureaucrats to decertify and essentially remove from office a sheriff who was duly elected. This is about as scary as it gets, and it's happening right now in Washington state. So the bill was signed into law by Governor Bob Ferguson last week, and now four Eastern Washington sheriffs have filed a complaint in a court of law seeking to stop implementation of Senate Bill 5974. Spokane Sheriff, County Sheriff John Knowles, Ponderay County Sheriff Glenn Blakesley, Stevens County Sheriff Brad Mankey, and Ferry County Sheriff Ray Maycumber, although they are far from the only sheriffs in Washington state who are opposed to this particular law, which essentially says we're going to put new restrictions, new requirements on anyone who is a sheriff or who wants to become a sheriff by running for office. And then if they, you know, step out of line, we can allow an unelected board of bureaucrats to decertify them, which means that they can no longer be sheriffs. So in this press release about the legal action these sheriffs are now taking, it says the sheriffs argue that concealed beneath the misleading title that claims to modernize regulations concerning law enforcement leaders lies a clearly unconstitutional mechanism that centralizes power by stripping it from the people. Contrary to the misleading title of Senate Bill 5974, the process for the removal of an elected official does not need to be improved. Our state constitution expressly reserves the right of the people to select their elected officials. The bill destroys the people's inherent political power guaranteed to them by the constitution and purposely shifts that power to an unelected board appointed by the governor. Eliminating the voter's voice is an attack on the very foundation of our representative government. And again, this is coming from the party that for the last 10 years has been calling Donald Trump a threat to democracy. And you might not like some of the things that President Trump has said or done. Lord knows I've been there and I was there for a long time. But you have zero credibility when you are constantly talking about the threat that Donald Trump poses to our democratic process, and then you're undermining it at every turn. And this is far from the only law passed by Democrats in Washington state recently that are blatantly unconstitutional and far from the only action that directly undermines the will of voters. I mean, not the least of which is the new income tax they passed that voters have voted against 11 times. And that is very clear in our state constitution is unconstitutional, not to mention the attacks on the initiative process and the referendum process. So I don't take them seriously at all when they say Donald Trump is an existential threat to our existence as a nation and to our democracy in our democratic republic. One of the other issues here is, you know, when Governor Bob Ferguson signed this bill into law last week, he blatantly said that he's kind of confused about how it's actually going to work.
Sheriffs and police chiefs should be held to the same standards as their own officers and deputies. Senate Bill 5974 modernizes Washington law governing sheriffs police chiefs, and town marshals by setting these minimum qualifications. Under this bill, sheriffs and police chiefs who are decertified are removed from office. I do have some reservations about the process for creating a vacancy. I've had good conversations with the sponsor and other legislators as well about that, and we'll probably be doing a little work on the interim, but the main message today is this is a great bill.
Don't know how it's going to work, but let's just push it through and sign it into law. I mean, so irresponsible. And one of the parts that bothers me the most when they say, oh, these sheriffs need to be held to the same standard as the deputies who they're in charge of. And, you know, one of the things this adds is this requirement for a lie detector test. Guess who doesn't have to take a lie detector test? Bob Ferguson, the state lawmakers who passed this bill, they don't have to take a lie detector test in order for their names to appear on the ballot. Doesn't that seem a little disingenuous to you, a little hypocritical to you? So on Sundays with Subscribers, we had on the sheriff who is most likely to be targeted by this law first, and that is, of course, Pierce County Sheriff Keith Swank, who the man has no filter. The man, it comes here, he's like Donald Trump, here to here or here to here to social media. But love him or hate him, he was elected fair and square by the people of Pierce County. And so on Sundays with Subscribers, I asked him why he believes they wanted this bill in the first place.
They believe, and rightly so, that this puts pressure on sheriffs to make sure they do the bidding of the Democrat Party, and so that when they pass unconstitutional laws in Olympia, that the sheriffs will enforce those unconstitutional laws. And they know that a lot of sheriffs are scared because they have to have a job. Because if they lose their job, they won't have their retirement. But a guy like me, I've already been retired and I don't need this job. And it doesn't pay nearly enough money for me to put up with all the grief I put up with. So I'm here for a different mission.
Yeah, and I really have no question about that, because we see these sort of puppet figures in law enforcement a lot. You know, police chiefs are generally chosen by a mayor. And so they serve at the pleasure of a mayor. And if they don't have a backbone, well, they're going to absorb and take in whatever sort of political positions the mayor has. And in Seattle, you know, the mayor is a socialist. And so she has, you know, a police chief who, by and large, will agree with her on what she wants to do and some of the crazy things she's put out about ICE and all of that. And we know that King County convinced voters to vote away their right to elect a sheriff. So now King County has a sheriff. The most populous county in the state has a sheriff that serves at the whim of a politician. And how is that being more accountable? That's how they sold it as, oh, this is more accountability. How is it more accountability to serve at the pleasure of a politician than it is to serve at the pleasure of voters? Because there are already multiple ways where if voters regret their choice, where they can remove a sheriff. They can recall them if the legal standard is met, or guess what? The next election that comes up, they can vote for someone else. That's how the process is supposed to work. Now, I'm not saying that Keith Swank hasn't been controversial. As I said, you know, he's had some boasts. And actually, our interview is very funny on Sundays with Subscribers, and you should watch it, because he used to say some not so nice things about me on social media. And in turn, I've been very critical of him and some of the things that he puts out there in the no filter. But all that little personal beef that we might have had absolutely is secondary to protecting the will of voters. Not about Keith Swank. I will stand with him on this issue, and I will defend his right to stay in office, because for me, it's about millions of Washington voters whose vote needs to count and who have more of a right than bureaucrats to decide who is fit to be their sheriff. But I did challenge Keith Swank on Sunday's show about some of the things that he said and done. For instance, during a hearing in Olympia this session on this very bill, he said this.
I don't recognize your authority to impose these controls over me. And when you try to remove me from office, thousands of Pierce County residents will surround the county city building in downtown Tacoma and will not allow that to happen. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I and they are prepared. Are you prepared?
Yeah, there were some people that came out, including some of his fellow sheriffs and police chiefs, who said that that sounded like a threat against lawmakers. You know, they're prepared. Are you prepared? And what is that going to do? So I posed that question to him on the show. Was that a threat?
It's to make the point that the people voted for me. And you can, if you want me gone, then run somebody against me and unelect me or remove me from office through a process, which they can't do that because I haven't done any malfeasance or misfeasance. And so there is going to be protests if they try to remove me from office for my speech. That's the only thing they have on me is my speech. They certainly want me to do something criminal so they can hold that against me, but I'm not going to do that because I'm by the book. I'm a law-abiding sheriff, so I'm going to continue on speaking out, and the people of this county are going to protest if they try to remove me from office.
Peacefully or not so peacefully?
Well, that's the deal. We're going to be peaceful. I'm going to encourage peaceful. I'm going to say peaceful protests, like the ICE protests, peaceful protests, like Antifa, the Summer of Love, okay. Peaceful protests. And I'll be saying that every day. Let's be peaceful. Let's be peaceful, right? And I'm going to make sure that I tell people, don't come down here and try to hurt anybody or, you know, jeopardize your safety either. We're going to be peaceful the whole time there. I'm going to be peaceful about it. And I hope it doesn't come to that, but maybe it needs to. And I'm okay with me being the guy that they try to remove from office, because like I said, I don't need this job. I'm doing it for more reasons than just for a paycheck, because it doesn't pay a lot of money compared to what I was making when I retired. So I'm going to do that. Encourage peaceful protests. No violence, peaceful protests only.
Yeah. Now I continue to press him on that because as you heard, there's a little contradiction in there where he says peaceful protest, peaceful like Antifa, which isn't peaceful, peaceful like ICE. And I think he's, you know, making a play on Democrats calling those protests peaceful when they're not peaceful by and large. And so, you know, I continue to talk to him about that, about, okay, you know, you're saying that this is going to happen. And I am worried about, look, there's a lot of things I could say about this. I won't say never. Lord only knows what our government is capable of. But I've said I'll stand by Keith Swank. And in fact, I'm going to go speak at an event that he's hosting, pushing back against this law and building up to the eventual legal challenge when they do try to remove him from office. You know, but I'm there for the voters. I'm not there for Keith Swank. I'm there for the voters of Pierce County and for the voters of Washington State. And so that they have people on their side that say, no, you're the only ones who should get to decide who your elected sheriff or who anyone that you want to elect to office is. Now, I'm not going to be part of some sort of violent, you know, violent insurrection or whatever you want to call it. If the government comes knocking and they're trying to physically remove him from office, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, he and I went through that potential scenario. But I've also said on this show, when do you have to resort to something like that against the government? And I don't want to be hyperbolic, but that's how our country was founded, right? And I'm not saying this is the instance. I mean, we need to see how this all plays out. But if you've got a government that is just going in and arresting or, you know, removing elected officials, an unelected board of bureaucrats, I mean, I would say we threw tea in the harbor for less than that. You know, the American Revolution was built on less than that, really. And so there's a question I expressed to him, my concern that if there is some sort of protest or he calls people to come to the county city building because he's about to be removed, will people decide to get violent? You know, I don't want to see that. So I think we're careening towards something pretty concerning here. But he's in the right. Let's be very clear. On this issue, he is on the right side of it. And that's the side that I'm going to be on. Now, if things go south, maybe I reevaluate. But for now, this is about protecting voters and protecting our democracy. If you want to watch that full interview with Sheriff Keith Swank, become a subscriber, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Just click on the banner that says support the show. It'll take you right there. So speaking of our state's leaders spitting on the Constitution. So this whole bill with the sheriff will go through legal challenges. Probably the overarching one, you know, that these sheriffs have now launched about the actual legality and constitutionality of the bill. And then if they try to use it against a sheriff like Keith Swank, I think you'll have a separate legal challenge to that. But then you also have the legal challenges that are starting when it comes to the unconstitutional income tax. So Brian Haywood at Let's Go Washington is approaching this in a couple different ways. I, for one, think it's very smart. I've heard there's some consternation among Republicans about whether they want him doing it in this way. I think it's smart. I understand the strategy of it. So he's challenging, he's got two legal avenues. He's challenging the fact that they won't let voters run a referendum on the income tax. Now, referendums, as you guys know, you're experts on this by now, they're much easier, quicker, and cheaper than running an initiative. And because of that, Democrats started several years ago abusing the emergency clauses and the necessity clauses. Because if they just tag one of those onto the end of a bill they know is going to be unpopular, then citizens don't have a right to run a referendum on it. And they'll put that thing on things that are not an emergency, that are not a necessity. And the only reason is to undermine the constitutionally protected right that voters have to referendum. That's wrong. Obviously, that's wrong. And so that's the very first thing that Brian Haywood set out to challenge, is even though they put the necessity clause at the end, he wants the state Supreme Court to weigh whether this was an appropriate use of the necessity clause and whether it undermines voters' rights in the state constitution. And some good news is the state Supreme Court has agreed to hear that challenge on an emergency basis, because, of course, if they're going to run a referendum, the clock is ticking. Like, they need to start doing that now. So Brian Haywood put this out. He said, breaking, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the referendum case. He said, quote from the court, at the direction of the court commissioner, the emergency motion for accelerated review is granted as follows. Any answer to the petition for writ of mandamus should be served and filed by April 10th, 2026. Any reply to any answer should be served and filed by April 14th, 2026. The petition is referred to the court for consideration at its April 30th en banc conference. So they are saying that they are going to make a decision about this at their April 30th en banc conference. So, and they have to do it quick, and they understand that. Now, I believe that they'll probably lose this because the Supreme Court has, I think as recently as 2005, upheld the ability of the legislature to use the necessity clause in this way. But I think the point that Brian is making in doing this is a sound one. And part of it is for optics. Like, they really are crapping on the Constitution at this point. They really don't care what voters have to say. They don't care about their opinion on the income tax. They don't want them to be able to run a referendum. And Lord knows they have worked really hard to undermine the initiative process. I mean, Democrats have sponsored snitch lines and sent their minions out to physically assault people collecting signatures. They've tried to toy with the initiative process to make it more difficult. They've shot down bills that would give protections for signature gatherers. It's all just wild. And I mean, for the people that, like, the no kings, hate Donald Trump crowd, you know, who really believe that he's threatening our Constitution and our democracy, why don't you care about this? Like, let's be consistent. In every single way, they're trying to undermine voters. Unconstitutional laws, attacks on the democratic process. It's stunning to me the amount of things that people will allow elected leaders to get away with over tribalism, right? So once this is rejected, which I do believe it will be, but it's strategic, then they're going to launch right into the initiative. But I've been getting a lot of texts about this still. Brandy, where can I sign an initiative to repeal the income tax? I mean, I'm not running the, I have no, you know, formal relationship with Let's Go Washington besides supporting, you know, most of the ideas that they've come up with to run initiatives on. But on their website, letsgowashington.com, they already have a place where you can pre-order sheets. So you can get your name and email and, address in there, and as soon as they're able to, they'll just mail those sheets right to your house and makes it as simple, so you don't have to go track down a signing location, because they're going to need to get this done very, very quick. All right, coming up next, West Coast states, rather than, I don't know, just try to be good leaders and try to pass good policies, they're spending millions of dollars to try to shine their image on the national stage. That includes California and Washington State. We'll discuss. First, it is April. If you're like me and my family, we've got a whole list of outdoor, and this week might be the week to get some of that done. Oh my gosh, it was so nice. I was in Wenatchee over the weekend. It was 70 and sunny. I was working, but I was like, oh, I should be at home getting some of my outdoor to-do list done. But reach out to our friends at Valentine Roofing to see if they might be able to help you check off a few things on your outdoor to-do list. If you're busy, you know, on gardening or whatever it is, let them do exterior cleaning of your home, check your gutters, inspect your roof. Right now, in fact, for the month of April, they have a bundle and save deal where you can get 10% off your entire job when you add new gutters to any new roofing project. So if you already know that your roof was banged up in some of the winter storms that we have and it is coming close to the end of your roof's life, this is a great deal where you can get a new roof and 10% off the entire job when you add new gutters to any roofing project. So call our friends at Valentine for a free estimate today, 206-ROOFING. 206 Roofing. They'll give you a free estimate, and make sure you tell them you heard about them on Undivided. Very important that you support the businesses that support this show, and lock in that 10% discount on your free roofing and gutter estimate. Bundle and save 10% off if you bundle those two things together. 206 Roofing. Okay. So rather than, I don't know, do a good job of leading their state so people want to come here and visit and spend their tourism dollars here, California and Washington State are instead spending millions of dollars to try to polish the images of cities like Seattle and Los Angeles. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to get involved in what will be a really busy year in Washington State on the political front. All right, this is from Channel 3 in Los Angeles. Major global PR firm Edelman wins $19 million state contract to promote California in a better light. It says Governor Gavin Newsom's Office of Business and Economic Development has picked a major public relations firm based in New York to take on the task of improving California's national image with an ad campaign. Now, so this is called their Go Biz office, again, the Office of Business and Economic Development. And let me be clear. I think it's perfectly fine and pretty normal for states to spend money trying to bolster local businesses, the local economy, and local tourism. This isn't just something that blue states do. I mean, Visit Florida, they have a huge, how often do you see like Visit Florida or Move to Florida commercials in Washington State? I mean, they're spending a lot of money showing all the beautiful beaches in Florida. So just on its face, spending money on, you know, attracting tourism and bolstering the local economy isn't a weird thing or a bad thing. But the question is, why are they doing it? So the just to give you a little information on the Business and Economic Development Office. So this includes Visit California, which is the tourism arm, California Film Commission. So that's like all their, you know, Hollywood, basically, the California Small Business Association, and the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank. And so that is the entity under Gavin Newsom's office that put out this contract for $19 million in spending. And if they were just doing it to say, like any other contract, oh, this is about saying, hey, come to California, it's all great, like every state does, no big deal. But this is specifically what that office says this money is meant to do. It says, last month, the GoBiz office posted the request for the proposal to help promote the state's economy and tourism while, quote, pushing back on negative narratives amplified online and in partisan media. It says the contract is expected to run April 6th to December 31st of this year. And it was also interesting because the contract, when they put it out, they were supposed to consider first for the job local California businesses. But instead, they went with this like big PR firm out of New York City. So there's a couple optics issues with this, right? So they're saying that they think they've got unfair media coverage and they want to push back against unfair partisan media coverage, painting California in a bad light. And it also comes at a time when Gavin Newsom is gearing up for his presidential bid. So an office that answers to Gavin Newsom is going to go out, hires a high-profile New York PR firm to polish the image of California. And the campaign will run through the end of this year, right into the time where Gavin Newsom will be getting ready to announce a campaign for president. You don't think that this is more of a polishing the image of California so Gavin Newsom can run a better campaign for presidency sort of thing? And the business association responded to those complaints, and they said a spokesperson for GoBiz pushed back on those criticisms. He said the campaign will tell the California story, not the Gavin Newsom story. The effort is about California's success, not about politics. Okay, but you said it's about pushing back on negative narratives amplified online and in partisan media. And just because a narrative is negative doesn't mean it's not true. One of the biggest, there's, I guess, a couple big narratives about California. The homeless issue. Horrible. The fraud issue. Horrible. And so what? Are you spending $19 million in taxpayer funds to make people believe that problems that don't exist or the problems that do exist don't exist? So like $19 million to lie to people, to put a lipstick on a pig? Wouldn't the easier thing be just to do a better job? Wouldn't it be easier and better for everyone just to deal with the homelessness crisis, to deal with the drug crisis, to deal with the fraud crisis, so that California doesn't have such a bad reputation across the country? And something very similar is happening in Washington State. Last week, Governor Bob Ferguson signed into law House Bill 2325. And essentially what this does is it allows private sector tourism industry in Washington to create an industry assessment. So this would mean that they wouldn't have to rely as much on state general funds. They would have some sort of assessment. So it'll be like a fee on hotel stays or something like that. And that will go into a fund to be able to promote Washington tourism across the country and across the world. And again, on its face, like, I don't necessarily have an issue with that. I think promoting a beautiful state like Washington is very important, but we'll talk about, you know, some of the easier ways to do that in a moment. But Governor Ferguson signed this into law at Visit Seattle, which is Seattle's private nonprofit tourism board, at their annual meeting. Here is the head of Visit Seattle talking about it.
For 15 years now, our state tourism office has struggled. Funding for the entity over time has ebbed and flowed and ebbed again, but today, under the leadership of David Blanford and his board, Washington State Tourism faces a bright future. They have successfully shepherded a bill through the legislature that enables the industry to fully support and participate in the work of this important organization. And right here, right now, that bill will become law.
And here's what Governor Ferguson said as he signed it.
House Bill 2325 will allow the Tourism Marketing Authority to generate upwards of $25 million annually to fund its marketing work. You all know why that funding is so important. It's because we want to showcase our beautiful, incredible state and bolster economies all across Washington State. And I want to be clear, this effort is not about any one event, even one as incredible as the World Cup. It's really about creating sustainable funding source that benefits tourism marketing all across Washington State. Tourism officials from both sides of the Cascades will be supported by this legislation. And we heard from folks on both sides of the state what folks in this room already know, that this investment will help communities coordinate their efforts to attract visitors and support local businesses in rural and urban areas.
That money will be wasted if you don't fix the reasons why tourism has suffered in Washington State. I have been really close with Visit Seattle under their old lead for, gosh, since 2011. Doing stories with them on what they dubbed at the time the street scene. This is really when the homeless crisis and the drug crisis in downtown Seattle was getting pretty bad. And they would send me, hotels and the convention center through Visit Seattle would send me the notes that visitors, you know, who were there for a conference or something, would send back to the conference host about how bad, how they felt scared, how they were, you know, followed by mentally ill people on the streets, how there was human feces on the sidewalks. And so what that does is it immediately, and they lost a lot of conferences and conventions over this. And so you can spend $25 million a year trying to get people here. But if you get them here and it looks like it looks now, they're never going to come back. And that money is going to be wasted. A better thing to do would be to spend money and have some political will to actually deal with the reasons why. And this is the same across the entire West Coast. I mean, here's some videos. If we talk about why they need to spend all this money being strategic in this way, these are videos from just this weekend, Easter weekend, across West Coast cities like Seattle, Portland, and LA.
Get over the left now. Get over the left now.
There you go.
Yo, let him sit. Just let him
sit. Down. You can sit down.
Just sit down, G. Just sit down.
My whole knee pretty much
seared your knee off.
Seared my knee off. They had to, they conjured a bunch of,
There's no PR firm in the world that can sell that to people. There's no PR firm in the world that can polish that. No, it doesn't matter if it's Edelman out of New York City, or if it's a local, there's no PR firm in the world that could honestly help that image. And so the best PR that you can get is doing a good job. I mean, and again, look at Florida in the way that it's governed. You go to Miami or any of these places, like when I visit my sister, I don't see homeless people and drug addicts on the street. I'm not saying there aren't some, because you occasionally, yeah, there will be some. But this isn't a widespread thing where it ruins your enjoyment of the city, where it ruins your enjoyment of the place that you're going. And so, you know, they could spend $10 billion on tourism in California and in Washington State, but it still is not going to make the places enjoyable to visit. And now we've got a socialist mayor who's really trying to decide, does she actually want to go in and sweep these encampments and do what needs to be done? And she's struggling between the activists and I think what people around her are trying to tell her needs to be done. We've got the World Cup coming and Lord only knows you know, if they're not able to clean up the city, how bad that's going to, I mean, because if you have a bad showing for the World Cup, when you've got visitors from all over the world, or if something happens to one of these visitors in downtown Seattle, Pike Place Market, Pioneer Square, think about the damage that that will do to tourism. Because for a long time, Seattle, one of the really remarkable things about the tourist population that came here is it was very international. But you get some bad stories on the international stage that come out of the World Cup, we're screwed. That $25 million will not do jack, because there just is no replacement for good governing and for good leadership. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Sign up for their newsletter and they'll alert you to opportunities in your area to get involved. All right, our friend Wes Jones is the guy you want to reach out to if you're thinking about selling your home. Maybe you're thinking it's finally time, you're going to move out of state, escape taxes and all this nonsense. And Wes and his team, they just do such a fantastic job. So for so many undivided viewers and listeners, Kyle R. gives them 5 stars. Says, we had a great experience selling our home with Wes and his team. Great communication, all the resources, tough negotiator and valuable advisor. He made our house shine and helped us get a tough property sold. We would 100% do business with him again. So you can go from sell with Wes to sold with Wes. If you go to his website, you can peruse some of the recent listings that he and his team have helped to sell. And then you can get a pretty good idea of the services they offer that I really think make Wes and his team stand out from other real estate agents. And by all means, I always tell people, reach out to a few real estate agents. It's a huge decision who to go with to sell your home. And so ask them, you know, what they bring to the table. And I think you'll find that Wes Jones and his team have a lot to offer, especially if you have a house that maybe needs a little extra work, some cosmetic upgrades. Wes loves taking on those projects. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. I can't believe I'm asking this question. Is it ever appropriate for a teacher to wear her thong underwear around students? Let's talk about it in our segment. Unbelievable. Okay, so this story is about a PE teacher at Shelton High School in Shelton, Washington. Inspire, challenge, empower. Shelton success. Inspire, challenge, empower. Wonderful. We've been working on this story for a couple weeks because it really is a difficult story to pin down. Because basically you have some parents who have come forward and talked to the school and told them that, hey, this PE teacher on multiple occasions was wearing her thong panties in the locker room around kids, around our daughters, not trying to cover herself up, not accidental exposure, just strolling around in her thong underwear and a short t-shirt, which I would say is really freaking strange. And the parents didn't feel like they were getting enough of a response. Like they were laughed at at one point by the Shelton School District. So they reached out to the Shelton Police Department, and we did get those catalogs where it says that a caller said they're in the lobby at the high school, mad. They said it's regarding their children in Shelton High School. Police responded. They said they're concerned over a teacher who dresses unprofessionally and acts unprofessionally around her students. He said he'd advise them that he talked to the school next week, but he wasn't sure if any laws had been broken. So we were able to kind of confirm that these parents had gone to not only the school district, but to the Shelton Police Department, because they felt like the school wasn't taking their concerns seriously and wasn't doing anything about it. So Shandale and Aminda are the parents, the moms of two of the girls who they say saw this PE teacher in the locker room in her thong underwear. They were nice enough to join us to talk about it. Ladies, welcome to Undivided.
Thanks. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Such a weird topic. Shandale, I'm going to give you the honors of describing the conduct that this individual engaged in. Go ahead.
So we're dealing with a teacher. My daughter saw her come out of a bathroom in her office with blinds, a door, a student sitting in her office, my daughter walking in there to hand her paperwork for a concussion, and she's in a thong and a t-shirt. She can remember the color, all the details, everything that happened. Her daughter saw it on a separate occasion, and I think 3 other girls have also seen it on separate occasions.
Wow. So, Aminda, explain how your daughter saw it, the circumstances around that.
My daughter just went into the locker room, and the teacher was just walking from one end of the locker room to her office in her underwear, in her thong, just casually walking through.
So was it the same kind of t-shirt with the thong on?
Yeah.
And yep. I just want to get specific. I mean, was the t-shirt long enough to be covering, like,
no, my daughter back? Saw, like, the whole, her whole underwear, and, like, everything.
So, and just to be clear again, this wasn't a circumstance where, I mean, it is a locker room, right? But this mm-hmm. wasn't a circumstance where it was an accidental exposure. This was multiple times in areas where kids were.
Yes.
Now, not that it would make it be an excuse or make it any better, but do you guys get the sense that, like, this is a perversion thing, or do you think it's just no boundaries this adult has? Aminda, what do you think?
I'd probably say all of the above. I mean, what adult doesn't know that that's not okay to walk around in their underwear? If you're going to be changing, you need to wait till the kids are out of school, maybe. Maybe you go into your office and you lock the door and you shut the blinds so nobody can see you. That's not an accident at all.
Shandell, what do you think? A weird perversion or?
I think all of the above as well. I was kind of talking to my daughter a bit about it today. And maybe a self-confidence thing too. Maybe it makes her feel, I don't know, superior.
So this has been a couple months, about a month or so ongoing, month and a half. You guys are not satisfied with the way it's been handled up to this point. Can you talk about just sort of some of the ways that you feel like the school district let you down and let the girls down in their handling of this? Shandell, we could start with you.
Yeah, so the whole investigation, the first time I reported it felt really off. The vice principal was a little bit giggly. She kept saying she was confused. I went to the HR director of Shelton School District. I called her and she never got back to me, but I got a voicemail from the principal, and he said he heard this incident and he wanted to look into it first thing Monday. Great. He had his investigation open and closed within 3 days. He wasn't interviewing any witnesses until I emailed him telling him there were other girls who had seen this. And then he's asking my account of their, you know, what they saw. I told him, no, you need to go ask them. That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, we don't know what to do. We're just parents. We don't know where to file these reports or how to. So we file a police report because we're not getting answers. We file the police report, still nothing. They didn't care. They did not care one bit. I went to OSPI after that because we're still not getting answers.
It's just kind of crazy that, I mean, back in my day, I don't know, nothing like this ever happened when I was in school. And I feel like we do stuff like this all the time. But, like, why does there have to be all these procedures and forms and layers and all this? It's like, no, an adult wore their underwear around kids. Like, let's handle that. I mean, Aminda, as a mom, bringing this stuff and your concerns to the school, and even, you know, students talking about this, that must be embarrassing for your daughters too, and kind of worrisome to have to talk about this stuff. Aminda, what was your expectation going into this about how the school would handle it?
You know, I just wanted to know if this was an accident. I wanted to know why she was in her underwear. I wanted to know if this was a normal thing. My daughter had told me, because when Shandell had brought it up to me, I asked my daughter, I said, hey, have you ever seen this teacher ever in her underwear? She's like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, Mom. Like, it's a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. And we shouldn't be normalizing that at all.
Shandell, I think it was your daughter that they moved her. They took her out of the class.
Yes.
To be away from the teacher.
It feels like a punishment in a way for her. And especially because all these things keep happening where they moved her out of class. And the teacher has her planning period in fourth period, which is my daughter's new weight training. They didn't lay out the logistics that this would be that teacher's planning period and my daughter would be in weight training. And sometimes they open weight training for them to use the gym. So she gets herself on a treadmill 2 times in front of both of our daughters, not even 15 feet away from them. And my daughter is feeling like this is intentional. How is that a safety plan?
Yeah, well, it does feel like it's putting the onus on kids to deal with an awkward situation. I'm trying to think about why would this be done. Because if this was a male teacher who was wearing his underwear around these girls, this would be like police investigation, mm-hmm. all this stuff happening. Do you believe that's what's happening here? That the fact that this is a younger female and that's why the school's not taking it seriously? Or do you think it's something else?
I think they're... But I think there's a lot of secrets going on within the district right now. Mm. So maybe if that's, oh, she's a female in a girl's locker room, maybe that's what they're, you know, they're going to say. Or maybe that's what they're thinking. They don't think it's a big deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
There's not been one single person I have talked to, a parent, a friend, a coworker. They all think the same thing. They all have the same reaction.
Yeah. Because like you said earlier, Amanda, I mean, it's like everyone knows that's wrong. Everyone knows you shouldn't mm-hmm. be in your underwear around other people's kids. And really, I don't think a lot of people would be in their underwear around their own kids. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just an odd thing. So is this, to date, the school says that they've taken corrective action, correct? But they won't tell you what.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I was told. The principal slipped. Well, I think he intentionally told me this mm-hmm. part to try to smooth things over. What he said was, I told her if this ever happens again, she will be dismissed.
Okay. So, I mean, that definitely is a revelation. And I don't know. I mean, did you think that was a fireable offense? Do you believe it's a fireable offense, Amanda?
I mean, what would happen if we were just running around in underwear at any school, right? There would probably be some actions taken, right?
Or even downtown, if we were caught in our underwear on a sidewalk downtown, like we would get charged with indecent exposure. They could charge us with that, right?
Yeah. Well, I go back to if it was a guy, I think that they would have been fired. If it was a guy and exposing themselves to girls, I think that they would have been fired. So just some final thoughts on this. I mean, what do you guys want to happen from here? Shandell, let's start with you, and then we'll end with you, Amanda.
You know, I just want transparency. Yeah. I want accountability. And I want to know that I want to feel like this will never happen again. It's about protecting kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda, what do you want to happen from here?
I think the same. I want to know basically what are you thinking and what is the school plan on doing it? Why aren't they talking to us? What are they afraid that's going to come out?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, no adult should be wearing their underwear around kids. And I agree with you, Amanda, that, okay, just explain to us, what is your excuse for this? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you could come up with a valid one, but I would like to know what the hell she was thinking. So,
yeah.
Thank you both. Please keep us up to date now that they're doing sort of a more thorough investigation, and we'll see what the school district has to say to us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so far, the school district has had nothing to say to us. I mean, we've been working on this for weeks because it's kind of this weird story to pin down. But the fact that Shelton police had been made aware of this made us feel confident in, you know, what the parents are saying. And this is their accusation that, you know, multiple young women saw this PE teacher strolling around in thong underwear. And that it wasn't like an accidental, like, oh, walked in, I was changing or whatever it is. I just can't think of a valid reason to ever wear a thong underwear at a school as an adult where kids could see you. It's so strange to me. And so the fact that the Shelton School District won't even respond to our request for comment is also fairly frustrating. But I also, you know, what is, again, and I struggle with, like, what's the reason for this? Why would this teacher do this? But I allegedly do this. But I do think that there is this weird, I mean, I can tie this to that story that came out last week. I talked about it on social media over the weekend. I don't think we covered it on the show last week, but you know, the naked bicyclists? I've been talking about these naked bicyclists for years, ever since I first saw them at the summer solstice naked bike ride in Seattle, where I saw like naked adults and around kids. And I was like, what would motivate you to want to get on a bike naked in the first place, but then like some of them covered in body paint and parade around naked? What is the motivator there? I can only think perversion. And it happens that this guy who leads the Bellingham Naked Bike Ride co-founder charged with possession of child porn. And I thought, well, yeah, of course, because I just think there's a perversion, an underlying perversion for wanting to be naked in public. And I'm not talking about like a nude beach. That's a totally different situation. Let your freak flag fly. I hate tan lines, too. But like out in public where kids could see you, this guy, Zachary Robertson, 42, of Bellingham, he was arrested back in March after his wife contacted authorities upon finding him viewing explicit images of children on his laptop. A search warrant executed on the device uncovered approximately 25 images of, you know what child pornography is like. And he's the co-founder of the Bellingham Naked Bike Ride. And again, that doesn't really surprise me. And so I think there's just something weird about any adult and potentially perverted about any adult that wants to be in any state of undress around kids. And I don't have kids, but I would assume also most parents don't walk around in any state of undress around their kids, like in a thong. So it's just absolutely strange. And we encourage the Shelton School District to respond to our request for comment. And I think we even reached out to the individual teacher herself to try to get comment from her or some sort of excuse. So absolutely unbelievable. All right. President Trump's angry post over the weekend has people all fired up on Iran. We'll discuss it and what he had to say at a press conference this morning. First, Firstmark Insurance is the company that you want to call if you're thinking about, you know, either reworking your insurance or trying, you just need to save some money. I mean, for the love of God, speaking of Iran, I saw like $7 a gallon diesel on my drive in. I thought, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people looking for ways to save money. And insurance is just a no-brainer. I mean, especially if it's been a while since you've had your insurance reevaluated, Firstmark will do it for free. It's called the Firstmark Challenge. So many Undivided viewers and listeners are now members of the Firstmark family. Mike and I are. Nicole is. Undivided as a business is insured through Firstmark. And that's because it's exceptional service. And it takes so much stress off your plate. Oh my gosh, I never have to worry about my insurance, whether it's up to date, whether it's in line with what we need. So do what so many Undivided viewers and listeners have done, like Robin, Carol, Debbie, Connie, and take the Firstmark Challenge today. You could be saving hundreds of dollars a month. That's thousands of dollars a year. There is no reason not to do it. Firstmarkinsurance.com. Give them a chance to show you that you could have better insurance or better insurance at a better price. Okay, so some national news. Okay, so obviously there was a downed F-15E aircraft in Iran, and it's two American airmen needed to be rescued from Iran. So the news came out over the weekend. NBC News said second airman, an F-15E that was shot down over Iran, is rescued safely. U.S. officials say the search was on for the backseater since Friday's incident when the pilot was rescued shortly after the strike. And I mean, I don't have to tell you guys how remarkable it is. And think about if the situation was reversed. It just tells you the superiority of the American military. Imagine if like an Iranian plane was shot down over on American soil. The idea that Iran would be able to fly into our airspace and rescue them, it just would not happen. So the fact that the American military under fire was able to get into Iran, rescue them with no loss of life is truly miraculous. And that's what President Trump said to NBC's Kristen Welker over the weekend when he sent her a text message.
In an extraordinary turn of events, the United States has rescued the second crew member who was in the U.S. F-15 fighter jet shot down over Iran Friday. President Trump texting me directly this morning. The rescue was an Easter miracle. The enemy was large and violent. The rescuers were brilliant, strong, decisive, and as cool as anyone can be. The Iranians thought they had him, but it wasn't even close. And remember, we got two, but couldn't talk about the first in that it would have highlighted that there was a second. Such a rescue has never happened before in so violent an enemy territory. It is usually not done because it is considered not doable. Such a great military like no other. Adding on Truth Social, open the effing straight, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell.
Oh, very different postures from the president. So first of all, remarkable military prowess to rescue those downed airmen. And then there was the Truth Social post that the president sent out on Easter morning. Yesterday, Tuesday will be Power Plant Day and Bridge Day, all wrapped in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the effing straight, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. And people lost their minds over this, including some conservatives over the praise be to Allah, which I think he was using like in jest, right? But I read it, and again, I'm perfectly capable of criticizing President Trump. I've done it many times, but there's one area where I think he's owed some latitude, and it is in foreign intervention. I think that he's shown that peace through strength has really worked for him. And I also think he knows, so he's given them this Tuesday deadline to reopen the strait, get the oil moving again, or he says it will be, they'll be living in hell, right? So now he's put this timeline in place. And when he makes a threat, I think he knows that he has to follow through or he'll be no better than Obama. And so, but it's also would be disastrous for the ability for citizens in Iran to move forward and rebuild if he blows up their power plants and takes out the key bridges. And so I don't think he wants to do this, of course, but now he's like, I'm in a tough spot because we have to draw a line. So I think he knows that they need to believe he's crazy enough to do it. And so I think he intentionally is sounding like a raging, out of control lunatic in this post because he needs Iran to believe that he will absolutely blow everything up on Tuesday if they don't come to some sort of agreement. So I think that's why you had President Trump put out the words that he put out. And I think some people fail to factor in the art of the deal and how his mind works. And I don't want this to happen. And Tuesday's tomorrow. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with President Trump. But he had a press conference this morning and he says, you know, he thought that they were close to a deal, which is why he had moved back that first sort of deadline that he gave them. And he says they've given them a taste of what's to come if they do not open the strait.
We were very close to a deal. And then I got a call from Mr. Witkoff, Mr. Kushner, and J.D. saying, I think they're breaking the deal. I said, tell them that's okay. Don't worry about it. But tell them to look out their window and watch. And within 45 minutes, I gave the order to knock out the biggest bridge. I gave the order to knock out the biggest bridge in, I believe, the Middle East, but the biggest bridge in Iran. And within 10 minutes after I gave that order, that bridge was over.
Yeah, in the media, fairly questioned, I mean, kind of the posturing here, because President Trump has said, oh, we could leave now and it would still be kind of a victory. And he suggested that this military action in Iran is almost over. But then he's threatening tomorrow to make this potentially catastrophic for Iran and the future of Iran military action. So they're like, kind of, which one is it? Here's another response from the president.
Your messaging on the war has moved from the war is coming to an end to war going to be bombing Iran to the Stone Ages. Right. And we've heard a range of those kind of messages. So are you? So which is it? Are you winding this down?
Can't tell you.
Are you escalating?
I can't tell
it?
You. I don't know. I can't tell you. It depends what they do. This is a critical period. They have a period of, well, till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. We're getting the help of some incredible countries that want this to be ended because it affects them also. A lot of people are affected by this, but we're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants.
He has to make good on it. I mean, that's the bottom line. You might not like it, but at this point, if he doesn't make good on it and he's made that threat and he's postured in that way, and he doesn't get, they don't reopen the strait or at least say, here's the path toward that, he has to, or else his negotiating power is just in the toilet. So yeah, buckle up. I think it's going to be a very interesting day. And 8 a.m. Eastern time, that's 5 a.m. our time. And so we'll see how quickly, and I'm hoping that, you know, they will come to their senses, but it's a very scary situation that we're entering. And so how could all of this impact your retirement portfolio? Totally legitimate question. Reach out to our friends, see the seamless transition. Yes, I'm a master at that. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital, and he can give you a personalized Know Your Risk portfolio review and just go over, you know, if it's Iran you're worried about, and oil, if it's AI, crypto tech, whatever it is that you might be worried about with the future of your retirement portfolio, its exposure to risk. Zach can walk you through all of it with one of his personalized Know Your Risk portfolio reviews. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. He'll talk to you about how Bulwark is always focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower your risk, lower your cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. Also this week, we'll have another episode of Swamp Watch. I'm sure Zach will have plenty to say about the president's Easter post about Iran. We'll have to get his thoughts on that. knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, I didn't have a great weekend, but I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to cry on the podcast. But my dog had another emergency yesterday. We were at the emergency vet and it's just been too much. However, I had a really great Saturday. I was in Wenatchee on Saturday. The Chelan County Republican Party had, was the MC I stepped in at the last minute for someone who Glenn Morgan wasn't able to do it last minute, had a family conflict. But the speaker was James O'Keefe. And I'm like, come watch James O'Keefe. I was like, absolutely. I'd love to do that. And our friend Annalie Wilson, now 16 years old, one of the most important advocates and voices for protecting girls' sports, was there as well. And James O'Keefe, I'll say, such a nice, normal guy. You would not guess that based on his videos, which he does all this undercover sort of journalism and stuff. And anyone who does that, you gotta be a little strange. No, he was so nice and normal. And his speech was fantastic. He had this great presentation where he went through all these videos of some of his coolest undercover investigations. But pull that picture back up, Nicole. The internet did not like my outfit. Well, some on the internet didn't like my outfit. I loved my outfit. I told Nicole this was like a dress I saw at Nordstrom's like maybe 6 months ago. But it was just so much. I didn't want to buy it. And then I saw it on Nordstrom Rack for like nothing, and they only had one size left, and it was my size. Yes, it's one piece. The vest is connected to the skirt. But I had a couple trolls on the internet saying I looked like Laura Ingalls Wilder. So our friend Matt Gilbert made this nice AI image of me as Laura Ingalls Wilder, and I think I look sexy in it.
Yeah, I think that it might just be the white shirt underneath, like bringing the...
Like, I like you know, it. I think it's stylish shirt, and demure.
Ooh, then you'd be like... Yeah. Then you'd be revealing.
Yeah, then I'd have cleave. And then people would be like, you look like a slut. But because I put a white shirt under, they're like, you look like Laura Ingalls Wilder, which Laura Ingalls Wilder was a total babe. Was a total classy babe. But I actually thought that was funny because I'm like, I do kind of look like Laura Ingalls Wilder. But I don't have a problem with that. Matt Gilbert and his AI skills. That is impressive. Me. That's how I would look like. I feel bad for you if you're only listening to the podcast today and you can't see this. I love my
nice,
dress.
Classy dress.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, no, it didn't bother me. I know this might shock you, but I'm confident enough in my style right. where I don't really care if people on the internet don't like it.
And denim is not like pioneer
Canadian
style.
Canadian tuxedo, if anything. And I am half Canadian. But because I saw James O'Keefe this weekend, he talked a lot about what's happening with independent journalism, et cetera. I asked, you know, you guys on our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals and X, about kind of the state of the media right now. I said, overall, do you believe independent journalists have more or less credibility than mainstream journalists or the same? Nicole?
You know, just based on, so it's a difficult question in the sense that, you know, I believe the conservative independent journalists are leaning towards the truth. Because they're up against this very biased media right now. So it seems like they're the more truthful. But are there probably some out there that aren't? Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
But right now it's dominated by conservative journalism.
Yeah.
They do seem more trustworthy. They're looking for truth.
Yeah, and I think James O'Keefe has had some words of caution about this, about you can't just call yourself an independent journalist and go out there and have the same or lower standards than Legacy News, because that's people need the truth. They need the unvarnished, unfiltered truth. And I have expressed for a long time, since I've been doing this, some concerns about it being kind of the Wild West. And you only have the standards that you're willing to put upon yourself. And like, I think we're pretty rigorous and we've gotten things wrong before and had to correct it. And that's always what you need to do is you just need to correct it. But I absolutely think that for now, the answer for me is more. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's teetering dangerously close because there are some people who just are taking up this big section of the internet and X and don't have any standards. And they'll put old stuff out there as new stuff. They'll put AI manipulated stuff and they'll share it. And that's really dangerous. So you guys right now, 95% of you say you do believe more. Very few of you say less, 5%, about the same. Bloom Kitty, overall, I believe independents have more credibility, but that depends a great deal on personal integrity. I have to be accountable for the news I consume and make sure I am pursuing the truth, not just confirming my own biases. 100%. Barb, I too am skeptical on all media, but the mainstream media has totally lost credibility. But at least with the independents, you have some idea from where they're coming. And that's the thing. It's like, I'd rather sit here and tell you guys, here is my opinion on this, and then tell the story. So you're not sitting there wondering what my bias might be. To me, I just think that that's one of the keys to credibility is let's not pretend we don't have opinions anymore, because everybody knows you do. And there's a reason why all the independent media is conservative. It's because the legacy media is liberal. And so, you know, just let's be honest about where we're all coming from. Robert, to be clear, you still need to vet independent media, but at least it's possible to find credible journalists among them. Yeah, 100%. And there are times we've been duped before on things put out, and you have to be so careful. And as AI continues to grow, that, I mean, you always have to be on alert for something that might be pushed to you in the algorithm that's fake. One more on that. Carrie says, it really depends on who it is. You have to check it all out for yourself. Yeah, and that's the thing. There are such varying levels of credibility in independent media outlets. I hope you guys always believe that I'm credible. I realize every day we have to earn it. I mean, the legacy media has lost it, right? So now is the time for independent media to prove that we can do better. And if we're not doing better, then what's the point? What's the point of even existing? Not like on this planet. You know, I want to continue to exist, but in this space. All right, some comments from the live stream on sheriffs fighting to protect sheriffs and voters. Matt M., disagree with people in power as a sheriff, they will remove you. Plain and simple. Karen Taylor said, 100%, I agree with the sheriffs. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. We the people voted them in, and it should stay that way. And look, I think if Keith Swank runs for re-election in a county like Pierce County that is increasingly becoming blue, I think that he'll lose. Depending on who the... But he's done enough controversial stuff. There's this story out where he sent like 70 emails to, I think it's a Tacoma News Tribune reporter. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that he's harassing this reporter. And I read some of it. And I'm like, yeah, he needs to stop emailing this reporter. So, but that's fine. If he loses in an election, great. Absolutely fine.
It's kind of weird that he won. I mean, the people that lost, like what Mello won, but Swank, or but also Swank, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. They elected a loony lefty Pierce County executive and then Keith Swank.
So anything can happen.
Super strange. Nathan says, the great thing about Sheriff Swank is he meets with the people in the county. He personally responded to me when I contacted him. He speaks the truth, whether you like him or not. Let's go Washington. Yeah, and I mean, one of the things we talked about on this interview was, you know, he had tweeted something out about should trans people be able to own firearms? And me, as a constitutionalist, I'm like, whoa, 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 we can't just wholesale suggest that a group of people shouldn't be able to own firearms. And he and I went through that, and he talked about why he said that and that he doesn't, you know, so we got through into all that.
I think it is being provocative in your questioning of the way things are, right?
Yeah.
So I agree with him making people think more.
Yeah. Were did you feel awkward sitting there when I brought up some of the past things he tweeted about me?
I felt awkward going into it, but it went well.
Yeah, I'm not an awkward person.
I know. Okay. I do know that.
Let's see. On Let's Go Washington, getting an emergency hearing before the state Supreme Court, Colin said, it is our duty as citizens under the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Declaration to oust unhinged government and replace it with a better system under the guidelines of these documents. So it is written. West Coast states spending money to boost their image. Lipstick on a pig. What do they call it? Like shining a turd. Can't do it. I saw these funny viral videos where these people, they're not even funny. They're sick and weird and twisted. And I don't know why my algorithm was sending them to me. But these guys will take literal dog poo and they will spray paint it gold all the way around it. And they'll try to bring it in to like a gold wholesale buyer and say, hey, I'm trying to figure out if this is gold. And the person will pick it up and they'll be like, this is dog crap. And it's just like the weirdest video. Anyway, Weiss Castle says, that's for Gavin's presidential run more than California tourism. 100% agree. It's the timing on that one. Laura, if the filming industry wasn't in California, what would the California economy be?
Did you also see Trump's post this weekend about California? Because
no.
there was homeless people cleaning their or washing their clothes in a fire hydrant spraying. And so Trump posted it as in, this is the state of California right now to combat this, like, good messaging with the real reality of it.
They've got water in the fire hydrants so homeless people can clean their underwear, but not to put out wildfires. Laura, I just read that. Necrotushu is, instead of paying for propaganda, I don't know, maybe fix the problems that are making blue states crap. Right. Haynes.
That's too hard.
No, that's difficult. Apparently. They haven't been able to do that. Haynes, it's been 7 years since Seattle is dying video came out. Yeah, and Seattle is almost dead. Okay. It says, Miranda says, we have some viewers mad you won't name the teacher. She says, so maybe say why you're choosing not to. Well, that puts me on the spot. Why are we choosing not to? I would say because the teacher...
Well, in theory, she hasn't broke the law. Like they said, we haven't been convinced, or they're not convinced she broke the law.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could ruin somebody's
But at the same time,
career.
We've named teachers who have like pushed radical gender ideology and hung up weird stuff in their classrooms. I think one of the reasons is, in this case, we don't have photographic evidence.
Right.
And I feel confident, like, why would the parents make this up? They went to the Shelton Police Department, so we can put this forth based on their allegations. I think if we had a picture of her in a thong, we'd probably name her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's a worthy criticism. But I just, in our conversations, we opted not to in this instance.
And
maybe that will change.
And you want the parents within the district to be aware, because obviously the school is not telling people much.
Right.
and you can figure it out. If you're a parent in the district, you can figure it out.
Maybe we end up changing their mind our mind. I don't know. I don't give a chuck, says Daily Unbelievable sponsorship. Boop. Thank you. Baron of Gray Matter. Where are the dads? Think Jesus in the temple. There is no way I would allow this. This conversation is pathetic. Females are not meant to deal with this level of depravity. Men must step up and clean house. Well, in this case, it's a female who's allegedly engaged in the depravity. Mm-hmm. Joanne Moore, I think the teacher doesn't think anything about it because there's never any consequences anymore for anything. Son Miller, $10 super chat, because I didn't see you in Wenatchee. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Mm. Yeah, I love Wenatchee. I got there 70 and sunny. I was like, oh, it's so beautiful.
It was so nice here.
I know. So but great. Then such I guess I will weekend. Explain maybe what happened to my dog. I was worried to Nicola. I was like, people are going to start to think I'm like intentionally inflicting distress on my dog. No. So I go last minute to this thing in Wenatchee, and Mike and I were supposed to go together. But then, of course, last week, Lucky had this, like, had to have these screws removed on my dog in her bones from this surgery. We've had all these complications with the surgery she had in January, and she's had three surgeries after that. So she got one done on Thursday, and we decided Mike can't come with me because he's got to stay with Lucky. But then Sunday morning, he had to work an overtime shift, and I was still coming back from Wenatchee. Neighbor kid goes to check on Lucky and calls me and is like, Lucky got out of her cone, her donut, and her lick sleeve, and she tore her leg open. She got out of all three. We had all three on her, and she was alone for a couple hours. She tore her leg open. So we spent Easter at the emergency vet. Ugh. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was just crying all Easter day because it's emotionally exhausting.
It is. And it looks bad. It looks real bad.
So today she's back at the vet after the emergency vet. And last night I slept not a wink. I mean, I was so out of it and had to take her in early in the morning. And I just don't know when this is going to end. I mean, I really worry she's going to lose her leg over it because it's just so crazy. And I think she's just emotionally sick of the cone. Mm-hmm. She's been in the cone for 3.5 months. She's been restricted on her ability to move around and do her favorite things since September. And I think she's, mm-hmm. and then her sister died. I think she's legit depressed. So I had a horrible Sunday. And then I was beating myself up for going out of town on Saturday instead of just staying with her. Anyway, now then it makes me think about, oh my God, can you imagine having a kid and your kid is sick or hurt? That would be like 100 times worse, right? It's like, I mean, I love my dog like a child, but I realize my dog is not a child, not a child human being. Can you imagine like having your kid, an actual human child, going through something like that? Can't even imagine.
Brutal.
Okay, brutal. All right.
It's going to be fixed soon. I know. I'm confident.
I'm really hopeful. All right. Are we doing the AutoPen sanity check? Okay. We'll get to that coming up next. Trump's so funny. When he's not being unhinged, he's very, very funny. If you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Go to rhawa.org. They're Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. And I will also say they're a hell of a lot of fun. They have events all across the state. Sometimes they invite me. And I have a blast and learn a lot about housing policy from a variety of fronts, not just from the landlord perspective, but builders and developers. So there's a lot of people who would benefit from being a member of the RHA. And they can help you on an individual basis, navigate changing rules and regulations. Again, help you kind of stay up to date on what's happening at these events. And then they advocate on your behalf in Olympia. And they've been wonderful sponsors of our show for a couple of years now. We absolutely appreciate them. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. It really just is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right. So, of course, you got the kids that come to the White House for the Easter egg. Do they still call it the Easter egg roll like they used to under? Is it something else? Anyway, Easter egg, Easter stuff, right? And Trump thought it would be a great day to teach kids about Biden and his auto pen.
Now, Biden would use the auto pen. He'd have an auto pen following Joe Biden. He didn't sign it. He was incapable of signing his name. So they'd follow him around with this big machine, you know what it was called? An auto pen. And he'd have the auto pen sign for him. He'd take the paper, hand it to his guys, they'd sign it with an auto pen, give it back. Not too good, right? Better to sign it.
I am going to miss that man so much when he leaves office. He is so genuinely funny. I mean, talking to kids about the auto pen, that is gold. That is gold.
There's another spot where Melania came up and the kids were like, who's that? And he goes, who's this? This is a movie star direct from Hollywood. He has a movie.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love that. All right. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. We'll see what's going on in Iran this time tomorrow. Little worried. But, you know, hopefully all will turn out well. If you'd like to support our show, I can now say confidently it costs less than a dollar of gas per month to support our show. Quite a bit less, actually, just $5. Go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, click on the banner that says support the show for $5. While you're there, shop our merch store. We got totes, we got hats, we got stickers. Everything you need to let your common sense freak flag fly. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.